Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Today is Wear a Hat Day, which raises awareness and funds for Brain Tumour Ireland. And to talk about what it's like to live with a brain tumour, I'm joined on the programme here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon by Andrea Smith, whose five-year-old son Jake is living with that very diagnosis. Andrea, thanks for joining us here on News Talk this afternoon. Tell us a little bit about Jake.
Hi, how are you? Jake is just a normal, happy, well, normal in the sense of with a brain tumour, but he's a happy young lad. He loves going to school. He loves playing with his brother and sister. He loves to climb. He loves being on a swing, but everything comes with the added knowledge of the limitations that a brain tumour has affected him with.
Bring us back to Jake's diagnosis, Andrea.
Jake was actually born with a brain tumour, which I didn't think was possible. But he was born happy and healthy. He was 9 pounds 13, big baby. But about a week or two later, I noticed a lump on his head. And then on Christmas Eve, he was diagnosed with a tumour the size of a man's fist. He was 4 weeks old.
On Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Eve. We had two younger kiddies at home, 4 and 6, waiting on Santi, and we had a busy day, and we were just in shock.
It must have been an incredibly difficult Christmas for you, Andrea.
It went quickly. I can't say I remember much about that day. We were discharged from hospital on Christmas Eve and told to spend Christmas at home with Jake, as his tumour was quite serious and there was a large possibility he wouldn't survive the operation. So, but unfortunately he started to get quite unwell over the Christmas, and he was rushed in on the 27th, and then he needed to be operated on. Yeah, it was kind of scary. He spent over a month in Temple Three Hospital in high dependency, and he coded at one stage.
What?
So yeah, it was tough.
What was the post-surgery aspect to all of this like?
The post-surgery was he just started to seize uncontrollably nearly directly after surgery. He was in ICU and then they moved him down to high dependency and he just kept seizing and seizing. At one stage they wanted to put him into a medically induced coma to try and give his little brain a break from all that activity kind of flaring up. It was during one of these seizures that he actually stopped breathing and he needed CPR and a code was called in the hospital. It was one of the most scariest moments of my life and I can still see it quite vividly to this day. It was horrific.
It must have been incredibly difficult for you as, you know, Jake's mum to standing there and, or you know, being there with him and watching all of this unfold and, you know, he was only 4 or 5 weeks old.
Yeah. The awful thing is that you worry during the pregnancy and then when you have your baby and everything is fine, they're perfect, you think, oh, grand, I can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
You just have to worry about coughs and colds and chicken pox and you don't think that your child is going to be hit with this kind of news of a huge tumour that takes up over half the size of their head. And you say to yourself, I've done everything right. I didn't smoke. I don't drink. So when you do everything right and the world throws this at you, it kind of leaves you very flummoxed and kind of like angry a little bit, nearly, you know.
Was after Jake's surgery and when he came out of hospital, did he have to go through any treatment at that point then, Andrea?
We had 10 days at home between Temple Street and the neurosurgery and having a shunt placed, to then being transferred to Crumlin, which is where the Children's Cancer Ward is, and he got his chemo. So Jake's brain tumour is a grade 4, so his is quite aggressive, so he needed extremely aggressive chemotherapy. He would have chemo for 3 or 4 days, and then he would be off for about 4 days, and then he would go back in for 3 or 4 days of IV chemo.
And how long was the chemo for?
This was for 9 months intensive, so we pretty much lived between Cavan General Hospital and Crumlin.
How, How were your other two kids, Andrea, during all of this?
I'm not going to lie, the other kiddies didn't see us very often.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on, and we were lucky enough that my husband's sisters and mother lives quite close to us. So we did have their support, and we would have been lost without them and our extended family. But to be honest, our kids basically didn't see us for about a year.
When Jake finished up with the chemotherapy, you said he underwent chemo for about 9 months.
Yeah, and now, then the tumour came back. So he was taken off his chemotherapy. So this would have been about September, October of 2015. And because his little body was weakened so much from the chemotherapy, they gave us a couple of months off, and they rescheduled his second tumour removal for January 2016 again. So just after Christmas. We just finished Christmas and we were in then.
Looking for that.
Yeah.
After that second surgery, Andrea, did he go back on, was there any more chemotherapy at that point? Or?
They only managed to get 75% of the tumour that time because it was quite deep in the brain. And he was put on an oral chemotherapy that they said would slow the growth of the tumour. Unfortunately, that didn't work. And then his oncologist was lucky enough to call us and told us that there was an experimental medication, this drug trial, and would we consider Jake as a patient first? So we just jumped at the chance. He informed us then that Jake was the actual drug trial and that there was no other child in the world on this medication.
Nice.
And he has been on this now since.
And how is he doing?
It stopped the tumour. It stabilised it. And then late last year and earlier this year, we had some bad news, and the tumour had decided to wake up and was starting to grow. So they've increased his medication and tweaked it a little bit. So the last MRI, we had a stable tumour again. So we're happy enough with that. We were told that he wouldn't survive, or it'd be rare for him to survive to his first birthday, as this tumour is so aggressive. So we are very lucky to have him here with us at 5.
How is he aside from that? Is Jake just your... he didn't know, you know, about what he's gone through. And my God, for such a young little lad, he's had a really, really tough time of it, Andrea. But is he just...
He's a special little boy with having such trauma on the brain at such an early age, and then to have intensive chemo at such a crucial developmental stage from 1 month to a 9-month-old. He missed an awful lot of milestones, and he does have some neurological deficits. He has doesn't eat. He's peg fed, because the oral chemo the chemo affected his mouth with mouth ulcers and sores, and so he forgot how to eat at that age, at 3, 4, 5 months of age. So we're working with speech and language to try and get him back to eating.
So it's 24-hour care, Andrea, really then.
Yeah, because he gets this medication every night. So,
nice.
But because it's so strong or it's harsh on the stomach, he needs 2 anti-sickness medications, an hour before, or half an hour and an hour, and then his chemo meds take about half an hour to 45 minutes to go in, and then you have to monitor him for an hour afterwards to make sure that he doesn't throw it back up.
It's full time.
It's full time. Myself and my husband both had to give up work. I was a public servant, and my husband was self-employed, so we've had to give up work to care for Jake.
Do you get any respite?
We would have used Laura Lynn Children's Hospital, which is a fabulous charity, but they unfortunately aren't taking any respite breaks with COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Jack and Jill nurses were great, but they finished their nursing care at 5, so we can't avail of that either. We were assigned some HSE night nursing hours, but it's very hard for them to find people to cover shifts, so we never have our full allotment. So at the maximum, we would have a nurse for 4 nights a week, and then we could only have a nurse helping us out maybe 1 or two nights a week. Okay. And they only come in from 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning.
It's really tough on you, Andrea. I think you're a real pillar of strength to, you know, just you even talking about this story. I can only imagine how difficult it must be for you. But would you mind just staying with us, actually, because we've another caller here. Connor's on the line here in Lunchtime Live as well. Connor, what's your story?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good.
So when I was 4 months old, I was going for regular vaccinations and stuff, and just I had a kind of a shaking of my eye or whatever. So there was a question, I suppose, that my parents asked to the GP, and then upon follow-up at 6 months, I got a CT scan in June of 1999, so 21 years ago or over that now, and there was a mass on my optic nerve. So I had a biopsy after that in Beaumont Hospital, which confirmed it was an optic glioma. So that led me on to having to have some chemotherapy from September 99 till around July 2000. But unfortunately, it didn't look great at the start, but you know, thankfully it did work, and the tumour's gone. And good. You know, I was so young, I don't remember much of it. Nice. I have a visual impairment as a result, but yeah, I've managed to live a relatively, in my eyes, normal life anyway. Yeah. You know, from then on.
It, when it happened to you so young, what age are you now, Connor?
I'm 21.
Okay, and has it impacted in your life, you know, since going through school and?
No, luckily enough, like you know, I suppose I've been lucky that no one ever really let it stop me. But having said that, I did still get support in terms of, you know, technology and stuff to help with school, and I was lucky to be able to go through mainstream school, you know, primary and secondary, and you know, I would have had an SNA at times as well to help with notes and stuff on the board, or you know, a laptop and stuff to help with that kind of thing, to be able to enlarge books and notes and stuff. So it was just accommodating those things, but in day-to-day life, I suppose I was lucky in the sense that I grew up, you know, I started learning what my eyesight was as it was the way it was, so I don't really know any different.
How did your parents manage at the time? It must, because we obviously heard from Andrea there, who's talking about her son Jake, but it must have been very hard on them too, Connor.
Yeah, I'd imagine it was, and you know, I suppose I only hear the stories now as I'm growing up, and I suppose the time that I probably, you know, I would have grown up going for checkups to Crumlin Hospital all throughout my childhood and into my teens. But I suppose the time it probably not hit me, but that I would have thought about it a bit more, was my own granddad actually passed away from a brain tumour in 2009. So I suppose I was 10 then. So I suppose then I probably would have out of curiosity at that age, you know, asked more questions and stuff. And you know, even at that age, I think you're able to grasp kind of, you know, that you're lucky that you did get through it, and that not everyone is as lucky, but. Yeah, look, it's a widespread thing out there, and I'm sure it was tough for them at the time, but that was one for me that probably led to more conversations at the time around, you know, what happened back then. Yeah. And yeah, look, realizing you're lucky.
What are you doing now, Connor?
I'm in final year in sports science in UL. Oh, so okay. I suppose not only did I get to go through secondary school, I was lucky in kind of unusual in a way that from kind of second or third year on, I knew what I wanted to do at third level, and I was quite determined to get there. And you know, I managed to get my first choice, and I'm delighted. And ever since I've been down there, I've just been getting stuck into it.
Yeah, excellent. Well, listen, Connor, thanks so much for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Andrea, if I can just maybe come back to you, I suppose the reason we were talking to you today, and as well to Connor who got in touch with us, is because it's Brain Tumour Ireland. This is their awareness day today, where they're encouraging people to wear a hat. I suppose really it's their fundraising campaign, and I know people can get more details on their website as well at braintumourireland.com. But has it been, you know, that even that little bit more difficult for you now over the past couple of months with, you know, everything going on with COVID?
Yeah, it kind of has been tough. We've been, I suppose we're kind of used to a certain amount of isolation. I know a lot of people are kind of finding being in and being isolated from people tough. But the funny thing is what's been going on the last 9 months now, has actually been how our life has been the last 5 years. Jake's immune system isn't great. He would be immunocompromised and would be quite fragile. So with washing hands and antibacterial and kind of keeping away from crowded areas, that's our normal life. We can't bring our kids to play centres or cinemas or busy shopping centres because the chance of bringing something infectious back at home, just even a common cold or cough could land Jake in hospital for a couple of days on an IV antibiotic.
Is there a sense of loneliness there, Andrea, as well with all of that?
There is. There's a serious sense of kind of isolation, yeah. And you're given no guidance. I suppose with us, Jake was diagnosed at Christmas, so there was a skeleton crew on in the hospital. There was no chaplain, there was no social workers or support staff. And with him being so young, we couldn't interact with kind of play therapists or he. So we felt so isolated. And when Jake was diagnosed, there was nowhere to get information. So the fact that Brain Tumor Ireland has put up the paediatric support page is brilliant. So it'd be great to know that no parent would be left in the situation that we were in.
Well, I have a great message in here for you, Andrea. This listener says, that woman is so brave dealing with something like that with a baby so young. It must have been so difficult on her and her husband and their two other children. So please say a huge well done to her. Andrea Smith, my thanks to you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today and for telling us about your son, Jake, and also to Connor, who joined us here, Connor Cantwell, just a few moments ago as well. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent is the number if you want to text us into studio today. And I should say as well, you can donate. It's €4 by texting BTI for Brain Tumor Ireland to 50300 is their number for their hashtag Wear a Hat Day. They're looking for people to take photographs or a selfie wearing a hat and post it on their social media site in order to raise awareness for Brain Tumor Ireland.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.